From the Gospel of John in chapter 11, we'll begin reading this morning with verse 32. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I had the great pleasure this week of attending a funeral service along with President McMillan of Blue Mountain College, of a lady, dear precious soul, named Marie McAlpin. Marie had served on the board of directors for Blue Mountain College, and she'd lived a life of servitude, one who always, it seemed, was cooking a meal for one of her fellow church members or baking bread for a neighbor in her community. She was a tireless servant of others. And as a gift of celebrating her life, her son, an ordained minister, preached her very simple service that day of only one song and his message to glorify God and celebrate her life. In the celebration of Marie's life, he told a lovely story about a mother's pride, not Marie's pride, but her mother's pride and love for her as a daughter. He shared how some 20 years ago, they were at a bookstore and a younger musician was playing at the piano a new song, a song that had been released called "Because He Lives" some 20 years ago, the song written by Bill Gaither. And as Marie's mom listened to the young man pour his heart out through his hands on the piano, she said what only an elderly mother could get away with. She said, "Young man, you're doing a fine job playing that piece, but my daughter could do a much better job." And with that, the young man stood up and said, "Well, ma'am, please play for us." In all of her embarrassment and humility, Marie sat down and played "Because He Lives," the song written by Bill Gaither. The young man her mother made get up from the piano that day was Bill Gaither. Such is a mother's love and pride for those that she's nurtured in love and in the faith. And so it is with us as children of God, as we celebrate on this festive day called All Saints Day, those forebearers of ours who's gone in the faith, Yes, our mothers, our fathers, our Sunday school teachers, our great aunts and uncles, those who've nurtured us through the life of the church. We pause on this day and to remember the gift they've poured into our life by contributing to our journey and showing us a little more of God's love. This has been a year where we've lost saints in our congregation and in our families, our beloved Ruth Cook, who served our church for so many years, and just recent years, Leland Mooney, as Geneva and I reflected on Leland even recently. His love, his wit, his enthusiasm. I think of Benton and Elizabeth and the loss of John and the many others. My father, who lost two siblings this year, Nita and Bobby, and my mom, and the loss of her Brenda. And for many of us, as we pause in the midst of that life and in that loss, may we not lose sight of what we gained from them. How they showed us a little more clearly God's love in this world. As we celebrated their life, may we continue to celebrate and remember how God used them to pour love into us. You know, I think about the saints that went before us in this congregation. The Rayford Longs, the Brown family who's been here since the beginning of the church, those who gave of themselves as Sunday school teachers, who contributed financially so we have a lovely sanctuary today to worship in and to serve our larger community. The saints who have poured life and worship into us, we give thanks for this day. And you know, as we pause and consider them, yes, there are tears. There is grief and sadness when we consider the life of those that we've lost. And in our scripture today, I find comfort in knowing that even our Lord Jesus Christ, even in the loss of His friends, felt pain, felt tears, and wept. It speaks of God's love for us, not as some distant Savior, but as our Heavenly Father and our brother and Savior Jesus Christ, who claims us as His family as well. In this scripture today, I'm certainly inspired by the life of Mary, this sister of Lazarus, along with Martha. And we know their story quite well. The stories of when Jesus first visited Martha and Mary. And Martha was busy with all the work of the festivities and preparation for Jesus' coming. And she got upset that Mary wasn't bothering herself, but she was simply sitting or kneeling or prostrating herself at the feet of Jesus and listening, and I would say, worshiping Him. And Jesus said this on that first occasion translated in scripture, "Martha, Martha, you're concerned about many things, but Mary has chosen the most important thing." You see, if Jesus would say that to Martha about Mary, I think that we need to listen with fresh ears what Jesus is saying about Mary and look with new vision on what Mary can teach us about the faith. So in our text today, as we consider the times in our life when we are grasped with grief and sorrow and loss, may we learn from Mary a model to sustain us and strengthen us even when life is most perilous. So I share with you this morning an acronym of Mary's model of grief that I'll title WEEP, as Mary exemplifies for us how to respond and have hope even in our loss. The first letter of that acronym, WEEP, reminds us that Mary, even in her loss, remained a person of worship. That's the W of WEEP, of this acronym. It says to us, even in verse 32, as we began our reading this morning, that the first thing Mary did when she found herself in the presence of the Lord was that she knelt in worship. Friends, in our grief, in our hurt, in our brokenness, may we, like Mary, cling even more fervently to this gift of worshiping our God, of hearing the scriptures, the psalms that remind us that death may last for the night, but indeed joy comes in the morning. As we heard the words of Rhonda reading this morning that says, mourning and weeping and tears will be no more in our Lord. Friends, we need those words of life in our grief. Keep worshiping. Embrace the spirit of Mary, who drew on the wisdom of Solomon. We spoke of Solomon in our men's fellowship this morning. And Solomon, the wisest man our world has ever known, said this in Ecclesiastes at the very end of his book, the last writing he wanted to leave with this world, in Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon said, here is the end of the matter. When it's all said and done, the chief end of man is to glorify God, to fear Him, to worship Him, and enjoy Him forever. Solomon would say it this way in the Proverbs, in Proverbs 9 and 10, he said, the fear of the Lord, hear this with me, the worship of God, friends, Solomon would say, is the beginning of all knowledge. You know what that says to me? In my questions, in my grief, in my inability to make sense of loss, Solomon is saying, to get answers, you need to worship. Continue to feel the love of God, which indeed surpasses all understanding, in the words of Paul. So friends, in our brokenness, in our sorrow, may we, like Mary, kneel at the feet of God. May we continue to worship. Don't deprive yourself of that gift. Secondly, in our model given to us by Mary this morning, when I think of the first E of WEEP, I'm reminded of our call to empty our heart before God. You see, I find that to be what Mary's practicing in our text today. When she says in verse 2, not only does she kneel before God, but she also pours her heart out. Did you hear her words? She said, Lord, if you'd been here, this would not have happened. I'm sure there are questions in her heart of why. Why, God, I'm feeling this pain. Why would you let this happen? Mary is being very transparent and honest about her feelings. She is pouring her heart out. She is emptying herself before her God. And you know what? Jesus was big enough to take it. She was honest. So friends, may we in our grief, may we pour our heart out to God. May we dialogue. May we ask the tough questions. May we, like Martha and Mary, say, Lord, this makes no sense. You could have prevented this. And let's be honest, friends. Let's be honest. God knows our heart. So let's go ahead and say what we're feeling. Our God is loving and gracious enough that He embraces us in our questions, in our emptying ourselves. May we cry out to Him. Isn't it more than coincidental that one of the most important ingredients of relationships in a husband and wife relationship, in a work relationship, in a church relationship, one of the most important ingredients is to have healthy communication. Well, friends, if that's important in our personal relationships, in our business, and in our church, shouldn't that be paramount in our relationship with our Heavenly Father? Let's communicate. Let's be honest. Let's call our feelings what they are. Let's be honest about even our anger, our disappointment, and yes, our pain. I find it inspiring that in Mary's appeal to Christ, that that was the very response that inspired him to tears. His affection for her and for her need was at the center of her restoration and comfort. Thirdly, in this model given to us by Mary of how to grieve in a healthy manner, we hear the second E and third model that reminds us, I think, to exercise our faith in our grief. What do I mean by that? I mean do something with our faith. To exercise our faith is to apply it. To move our faith beyond our head, friends. And to move our faith even beyond our heart. And to move our faith into our hands and to our feet and serve others around us. I've shared with many of you before that my mama has a ministry through pimento and cheese. And what a ministry it is. What does she do? She cares and serves for others. Even in grief, when we get out of ourselves for a moment and do something for another, there, dear friends, is healing, isn't there? You know, I could think back to a mission trip that I took some 20 years ago with youth. And we went out to up into the Appalachian region, ministering to the Cherokee Indians and some of the most poverty-stricken needs in that area. And I remember one child saying this, that after we'd worked some 12 hours each day, going on little sleep, and we felt an extra strength of God, even in our work. I remember one child say this to me. He said, "Boy, I sure am tired, but this is the best tired I've ever felt." You see, that's what happens when we exercise our faith, when we do for a other. You've heard Monya and me share our story with Noah's deafness many times as we found ourselves invaded with the whys of that tragedy, and we never really found comfort in our whys. Eventually, we transitioned from why to what. What am I going to do? Now that this has invaded my life, what am I going to do to make it better? How can I make the world better even through this? We strived in every way we could with God's strength to exercise our faith. Friends, do that. Do for another. It's not an accident that Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive, to serve than to be served. Don't deprive yourself of that gift to serve another, even in your grief. You see, that's what happens, I think, in our scripture. Did you notice? It's easy to overlook it. Did you notice that as Jesus approached the tomb, his words to the people gathered there, he said to them, "Roll away the stone." Or remove the stone. We who believe in the miraculous power of our God know that Jesus, Randall, with a swipe of his hand, could have removed the stone himself. But he encouraged those of faith to exercise and do something for another. There is life when we serve those around us. us. Lastly, friends, the P of weep reminds me of the power of presence. Presence as in being with those who love us. Maybe even more importantly in our grief, allowing them to be with us. You know, one of the greatest gifts we can give to a person in their grief is just to be there. Have you noticed that? And during this past year when we've lost so many family members, one thing I noticed at every visitation we attended, you know who was always there? Friends, who was always there comforting us in our grief were those who had walked the same path as us. Those who'd lost children. Those who'd lost parents. Those who'd lost spouses. You see, they knew. They had journeyed before us. They knew the power of presence in our sorrow. So friends, in your grief, may you do this. Don't quit people. Don't go it alone. Trust in the church. Embody them. Allow them to be present with you. In our scripture today, it tells us that as Mary and Martha went to see Jesus, that the Jews, the people of their community, went with them. They were there to comfort them and sustain them and have faith in them and have faith for them when their faith was fragile. Those are examples of faith by Mary. But you know, the greatest gift of presence for us to remember in our grief is the presence and peace of Almighty God, who, like Mary and Martha, we find ourselves comforted by our Savior, who came to this world, friends, to live, to die, to love, to rise victorious, so that we may live with Him, with all the saints in glory forever. May you be comforted this day and always with His tears and His love. Amen.